from Jakarta. RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in English program. RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia presents news, actual information, as well as entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen to our broadcast via shortwave on 95 to 5 kHz. You can listen to our program at www.voinews.id. RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia. Informing, connecting, dignifying. Hello listener, welcome back again in English Bulletin for today. In today's edition, we will present to you our program summary for today. First, we'll bring you our news, followed by commentary, Today in History, and My Indonesia. We will continue our program with news in brief, Indonesian Wonder, and Miscellany. We'll conclude our program for today with Music Corner. That was our program summary for today. Stand by now for the news.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news read by Rahmana. First, the headlines. 72 foreign youths learn Indonesian local wisdom and culture through Indonesian Art and Culture Scholarship Program. Minister of Defense Ria Misyad admits veteran must have better welfare. Now the news in detail. There are a total of 72 foreign youths from 44 countries that received the 16th Indonesian Art and Culture Scholarship Program, BSBI, from Indonesian Minister of Foreign Affairs in 2019. According to the plan, all scholarship recipients will spread in some regions across Indonesia. In addition, they will directly interact with the local people and experience how the religious and cultural celebration take place. This was stated by Director General of Information and Public Diplomacy at the Foreign Affairs Ministry, Cecep Herawan, in his welcome speech at the official launch of the BSBI program in Jakarta on Wednesday.
This year, the Ministry of Foreign Affairs is pleased to award scholarships on Indonesian art and culture to 72 talented and promising youth from 44 countries from 5 continents representing the region of Asia, Africa, Pacific, Europe, and America. They consist of 39 women and 33 men in the range of age 21 to 27 years old. Among them are 5 Indonesian from Papua Barat, Maluku, Bengkulu, Yogyakarta, and Jakarta. Joining us for the first time this year are from Benin, Ghana, Bangladesh, Bosnia-Herzegovina, and Jordan. They are chosen from more than 408 applicants from 61 countries. Excellencies, distinguished guests, ladies and gentlemen, the awardees.
Cecep Herawan added that the scholarship recipients are expected to become friends of Indonesia in the future. BSBI program is a routine program that has been implemented by the Minister of Foreign Affairs since 2003. Since the beginning, its implementation has resulted in 776 graduates from 69 countries who became friends of Indonesia and also helped the promotion of Indonesia in their respective countries. The 16th BSBI program begins on March 24, 2018 and will be closed with a grand cultural performance from the participants of the Indonesian Channel program on July 4, 2018. The 16th BSBI program features the colors of beautiful Indonesia by exploring the rich culture and life of Indonesian people, which are full of diversity and tolerance. Indonesian Defense Ministry, along with related institutions such as Minister of Transportation and Minister of Law and Human Rights, discuss about the welfare of Indonesian veterans. They must have better welfare. This was stated by Defense Minister Riamishara Chudu on the sidelines of Petra meeting at Indonesia Ministry in Jakarta on Wednesday. We actualize the existing regulation. If there is an appropriate one, we match it. There are veterans' rights, achievements, and elements that must be overcome today. That's the attention of government to veterans, so all the regulations have been completed. Moreover, Minister Riamishara Chudu further explained that the government must give full attention and provide higher appreciation for veterans who have dedicated for state and nation. He views that all veterans need to have appreciation from the government. The 7th Indonesian Fashion Week 2018 event, IFWS held in Jakarta Convention Center GCC from March 28 to April 1, 2018. In contrast to previous year, the IFW headlines three Indonesian cultures, namely Lake Toba in Tanah Batak, Borobudur in Central Java, and Labuan Bajo in East Nusa Tenggara NTT, combined into one with the theme Cultural Identity. The event was also attended by Director of Small and Medium Industry at the Ministry of Industry, Gati Wibawaningsi. In her speech at the opening ceremony of the IFW 2018 at the Jakarta Convention Center, she expressed her appreciation to this event for bringing the theme of Indonesian local culture and emphasizing that the cultural identity of batik and weaving becomes part of fashion product as the hallmark of Indonesian nation. I also appreciate PBNI for continuously highlighting Indonesian culture as the theme of the event, and this year the theme is cultural identity. Cultural identity contained in the fabric of the archipelago such as batik and weaving becomes part of the fashion products as the hallmark of Indonesian fashion. Being mixed with local ethnic makes fashion designed highly economically valuable. President of Indonesian Fashion Week 2018, Poppy Darsono, also added that IFW 2018 is the biggest national fashion event, collaborating with 200 local and international fashion designers such as Turkey, Myanmar, and Australia, 460 exhibitors of textile, workshop, and culinary. In addition, Poppy hopes that this event becomes a right place for young designers to be more creative and to develop their ability. This news is coming to you from the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Airlangga University Unair in Surabaya's Java province has inaugurated the HALA Research Center with a high-tech laboratory, namely by Safety Level 3. Head of the Unair HALA Center, Mustafa Helmi Effendi, stated in Surabaya's Java on Wednesday that the establishment of the HALA Center was encouraged due to the importance of HALA recognition for cosmetic, medicines, and food products. HALA recognition is also the hallmark of the product. In Arabic literature, halal means perishable, and the word describes anything that is a law under Islamic law. It is most often used to describe food and drink and any object or activity. Anything not perishable in Islam is called haram. Therefore, he said research on halal standard in all products is urgently needed. Airlangga University Halal Center also serves as a halal inspection agency, adding that the laboratory at the HALA Center can be used to review material for product in order to detect DNA in it, such as port DNA. He also remarked that the HALA Center will be a HALA research center that can be utilized by the industry. The government has assured the stability of price and supply of basic necessities to meet the demand, especially during the past month of Ramadan in May. Trade Minister Enggar Tias Tolukita held a meeting with stakeholders on the advocacy of basic necessities in Jakarta on Wednesday. He also noted that ahead of Ramadan and Idul Fitri, the price would be stable. He has called on all stakeholders who have the opportunity to get maximum profit for 11 months to reduce the profit by lowering the price. The commodities that would be under the ministry's surveillance include rice, sugar, cooking oil, meat, egg, and chicken meat. For rice supply, the government would not hesitate to release a stock from the state logistics agency Bulog when the price starts to hike. He added that rice price would be maintained and would not exceed its ceiling price. Indonesian on-demand service and ride-hailing company Gojek is set to announce its expansion to other ASEAN countries in the next weeks, according to internal company email quoted by Reuters on Wednesday, March 28. Gojek plans to explore 3 more countries in Southeast Asia beginning mid-year, which is followed to resent Uber's exit from Southeast Asian market. This suggests that the consolidation between ride-hailing provider Uber and Grab has put pressure towards Gojek, which is currently supported by Google and Tencent. Gojek CEO Nadine Makarim described the consolidation between the two ride-hailing companies as an opportunity for his company to penetrate further into the market, since basically there are fewer players in the market. Makarim did not specify any particular country in his email, but Gojek's chief technology official, Ajay Kaur, previously said it aimed at setting up operation in the Philippines this year. The email quoted Makarim as saying the preparations are well underway and within the next few weeks, the first new country launch will be announced. Google Temasek and Meituan Dianping are some of Gojek's investors. The last item, a total of 72 foreign youths from 44 countries participate in Indonesian Art and Culture Scholarship Program BSBI 2018 to learn about Indonesian culture and local wisdom. Deputy Minister of Foreign Affairs Abdurrahman Muhammad Fasir officially opened BSBI 2018 program at the Nusantarung at the Minister of Foreign Affairs in Jakarta on Wednesday. The BSBI is an activity of Minister of Foreign Affairs, which has entered 16 years since it was first held in 2003. The event is aimed to awaken the national youth and introduce the young generation of friendly countries with a variety of unique Indonesian identity and characters, such as appreciation of diversity, togetherness, politeness, openness, and tolerance. This year's BSBI program highlights the 10 colors of beautiful Indonesia with the aim to explore the rich culture and life of Indonesian people, which are full of diversity and tolerance. That's news over the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
Comments on actual national and international issues from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Hello listener, nice to be with you again in our regular program. Today is commentary. The title of today's commentary is to promote investment government to streamline regulations. As the current global economic growth is less encouraging, Indonesia tries to improve the economy by cutting barriers that make domestic economic growth rise. One of the government efforts is by streamlining regulation that tend to hinder domestic and foreign investment at both the central and regional levels. The effort is aimed at developing and improving economic growth in the country. In the board meeting of the government on the acceleration implementing business in some regions, at Jakarta International Expo Kemayoran in Jakarta on Wednesday, attended by Vice President Yusuf Kala, Cabinet Minister and Region Mayors and Chairman of the DPRD throughout Indonesia, President Joko Widodo asked each minister to streamline at least 100 regulations in a bid to improve climate of domestic investment. In addition, the President also asked the regional heads for each month to have the courage to make major reforms in order to facilitate the business climate, investment climate, with online system methods and to avoid many obstacles that impose or burden the business world and the people. Earlier, Coordinating Minister for Economy Darmin Nasution said that the government found it difficult to remove or streamline various regulations due to the many different standards in each ministry or related institutions. In addition, he views that the removal requirements should also refer to the existing regulation in the region to avoid overlapping and instead of becoming a burden in the country, especially for import-export policy. Therefore, each of the central and regional stakeholders in the implementation of the streamlined policy should communicate and coordinate well. President Joko Widodo said that currently Indonesia still has 42,000 regulations that might hamper the business world and make the government unable to move quickly. All of this must be addressed immediately. The regulations are at the central and regional levels. Seeing a great number of regulations that tend to hinder investment, logically, President Joko Widodo is worried about Indonesian economic growth that has been pegged 5% cannot be achieved. In addition, the mindset and the way of doing business must also change. In the modern and fast era, online process is now a major and appropriate choice. The importance of streamlining unnecessary regulation is to accelerate business world instead of posing illegal levies and corruption. Well, listener, that was commentary read by Rahmana. Thanks for listening.
Today in History, presenting you historical facts of the day.
Listener, welcome to Today in History, a regular segment which brings back people and events from the past as recorded in history. We begin with an event which occurred on March 29, 1922, commemorated as the Indonesian Philately Day. Philately is a hobby to collect stamps and other postal items. The commemoration of Philately Day in Indonesia started from the stamp collectors gathered in Batavia on March 29, 1922 to establish a philately club named Pozegero Zemaler Club Batavia. This society became a container of organized movement nationally, which was embodied in the establishment of the Netherlands Indische Vereniging van Postzegel Verzamelaars on August 15, 1940, as a continuation of the Club Batavia. The association was based in Jakarta. After the Indonesian Proclamation of Independence, the name of the association was changed to Vereniging voor Algemene Philatelisten in Indonesia, and in 1953 became the General Association of Philately Indonesia. Finally, in 1985, the name was changed into Philatelic Society of Indonesia. In 1974, NASA's Mariner 10 became the first space research aircraft which flies passing Mercury. Mariner 10 was an American robotic spacecraft launched by NASA on November 3, 1973. The spacecraft was arranged to fly passing the planet of Mercury and Venus. Mariner 10 was launched around 2 years after the Mariner 9 spacecraft. Mariner 10 was the last spacecraft in the Mariner program. The purpose of the mission was to measure Mercury's environment, atmosphere, surface, and body characteristics, and make a similar investigation in Venus. A secondary purpose to conduct experiments in the medium of interplanetary and to gain experience with dual planet gravity that helping the Mariner 10 mission science team led by Bruce Morey at the Jet Propulsion Laboratory. We conclude the segment of Today in History with the establishment of the Indonesia's Muslim Student Action Union, KAMI, on March 29, 1998. Indonesian Muslim Student Action Union is an organization of Muslim students who were born in the era of reform, precisely on March 29, 1998 in Malang, East Java. The Indonesian Muslim Student Action Union was born based on a serious concerns over the national crisis that hit Indonesia in 1998. The crisis of confidence, especially in the sectors of leadership, has raised the sensitivity of the activist leaders of dakwah campuses throughout Indonesia who were gathered at the university. The organization collecting all Indonesian Muslim students who are willing to work together to build the country and the nation of Indonesia. Indonesian Muslim Student Action Union also serves as a platform and partner for Indonesian students who want to uphold justice and truth in the law of the country through the stages of the national development. Listener, that was today's segment of Today in History. Indonesia in economy, international politics, sports, environment, and Pancasila, only on Indonesiaku, My Indonesia.
Listener, welcome to My Indonesia. Today we'll bring you the title about UNEP appreciate Indonesia's effort to recover peat ecosystem. The United Nations Environment Programme UNEP Executive Director Eric Solem praised Indonesia's steps to restore peat ecosystem. It was presented in a summit as a series of Global Peatland Initiative or GPI working meeting in Brazzaville, Republic of Congo on Thursday, March 22nd, local time. Eric Solem, in a release issued by the Ministry of Environment and Forestry on Friday, mentioned that the destruction of peatlands around the world will be a major blow to the Treaty of Paris and for future generations. He said the Republic of Congo and the Democratic Republic of Congo must learn from Indonesia that works hard to correct past mistakes in the management of peat ecosystems, including the success in coordination with TNI, police, community and non-governmental organizations NGOs. Law enforcement of violations also strongly support the effort to accelerate the recovery of peat ecosystems. On the meeting, the Indonesian Minister of Environment and Forestry, Siti Nurbaya Bakar, was present as a key speaker. Also present were Prime Minister of the Republic of Congo, Clement Mwamba, Environment Minister of the Democratic Republic of Congo, Ami Ambatobe Nyongolo, and the Environment Minister of the Republic of Congo, Arlette Sodan Nonau. Minister Siti Nurbaya moreover explained that the great forest and land fires of 2015, especially peat fires, are a very valuable lesson for the Indonesian government. The government then responds through policies to make strict and thorough peatland management improvements, especially in the context of preventing the recurrence of peat fires. The result in the 2016 to 2017 period, Indonesia managed to reduce the hotspots to 93.6%. This success is a testament to the seriousness of the government to prevent forest and land fires that mostly occurred in peatlands. The strategies that support effort to improve peatland management, including through policies on the protection and peat ecosystems management, the extension of the moratorium in place of granting new licenses in primary forest and peatlands, as well as improving law enforcement effectively. One of the phenomena is the court's verdict against a land concessionaire, which was found guilty in the case of land and forest fires and had to pay compensation of $1.2 million. Minister Siti Nurbaya also stressed that one of the keys of Indonesia's success is the ability of effectively involve all parties in this great work, from community organizations, including to encourage the fulfillment of legal obligations among private sectors related to peatland management in their concessions. That was today's My Indonesia.
Here news and brief read by Rahmana. There are a total of 72 foreign youths from 44 countries that received the 16th Indonesian Art and Culture Scholarship Program BSBI from Indonesian Ministry of Foreign Affairs in 2018. According to the plan, all scholarship recipients will spread in some regions across Indonesia. Indonesian Defense Ministry, along with related institutions such as Ministry of Transportation and Ministry of Law and Human Rights, discussed about the welfare of Indonesian veterans. They must have better welfare. This was stated by Indonesian Defense Minister Ria Misharia Chudu on the sidelines of a veteran meeting at Indonesian Ministry in Jakarta on Wednesday. The 7th Indonesian Fashion Week 2018 event, IFW, is held at Jakarta Convention Center, GCC, from March 28 to April 1, 2018. In contrast to the previous year, the IFW highlights three Indonesian cultures, namely Lake Toba in Tanah Batak, Borobudur in Central Java, and Labuan Bajo in East Nusa Tenggara entity, combined into one of the team cultural identity. Airlangga University Unair in Surabaya, Java Province, has inaugurated the Halal Research Center with a high-tech laboratory, namely Biosafety Level 3. Indonesia on-demand services and ride-hailing company Gojek is set to announce expansion to other ASEAN countries in the next few weeks, according to international company email quoted by Reuters on Wednesday. A total of 72 foreign youths from 44 countries participate in Indonesian Art and Culture Scholarship Program BSBI 2018 to learn about Indonesian culture and local wisdom. That's news in brief from the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Hello listener, welcome to Indonesian Wonder, a daily segment featuring tourism, culinary art, fine art and culture from various regions across Indonesia. In today's edition, we will introduce one of the traditional dances from Central Java, namely Bedaya Ketawang. Stay tuned. Listener, Bedaya Ketawang dance is one of the great dances during at the coronation and anniversary of the king's throne in Kasunanan Surakarta or Surakarta Palace in Central Java. The dance is only performed when the coronation and the anniversary of the king's throne in Surakarta Palace. The dance is a sacred dance for community and Surakarta Palace. The name of Bedaya Ketawang was taken from the word Bedaya, which means female dancer in the palace, and Ketawang, which means the sky, which is identical with something high, glory, and nobility. The dance is usually played by 9 young girls dancers, and the Bedaya Ketawang dance show accompanied by musical accompaniment of Gending Ketawang Gede with Palok Tone. The instruments which are used in the dance performance such as Ketok, Kenong, Gong, Kendang and Kemana. The Bedaya Ketawang dance is divided into 3 round scene. In the middle of the dance, the tone change into Selendro for 2 times. After that, the Gending tone back again to Palok tone until the dance ends. In addition to Gending music, the dance is also accompanied by a song which describes the outpouring of Kanjeng Ratu Kidul to the king. Kanjeng Ratu Kidul is a female lord of the southern coast of Java Island according to local communities' beliefs. On the first part of the dance is accompanied by the song Durma, then continued with Ratnamulya. When the dancers enter the Ageng Prabu Suyasa, the musical instruments are aided with gambang, rebab, gender, and flute to increase harmony of the show. In the dance performance, the dancers wearing the clothes of the Javanese bride called Dodot Ageng or Basahan. The dancer's hair is decorated with bokor mengkurep, which is a large size of gelungan or hairstyle. For jewelry accessories are also used centung, Garuda mengkur sisir jeram sajar, junduk mentul, and tiba dada. Originally, the Bedaya Ketawang dance was performed for 2.5 hours, but since the era of Pakubono X, there was a reduction of duration, becomes 1.5 hours time. The dance is not displayed any time because the dance is provided as one of the ceremonial processions of the palace. The dance is only performed during the coronation of the throne in Surakarta Palace. Listener, that was the regular segment of Indonesian Wonder for today with the topic Bedaya Ketawang Dance from Surakarta, Central Java. Hopefully, it may be useful and increase your knowledge about traditional art in Indonesia, and we will meet again tomorrow with other interesting topics. Sampai jumpa.
Voice of Indonesia in My Language program as media to preserve Indonesian regional language. Hello listeners, welcome back with me Asmawati Rahman in My Language. In today's edition, we are going to take you to visit Maluku Province to know more about Hitu language. Listeners, besides being rich in natural resources, Maluku Province, as a home of Hitu language, also has tourism destinations such as Ora Beach, Ngurblot Beach, Tual City, Amsterdam Fort, and the World Peace Gong. In Maluku, tourists can find a wonderful place with a beautiful scenery and at historical knowledge. The number of Hitu language speakers decrease every year. If it is happen continuously, Hitu language will be extinct. But the government doesn't keep silent. Through the Language Development Agency under the Ministry of Education and Culture, Indonesia continues to revitalization efforts along with Hitu people. Listener, here are some examples of Hitu language. Orasila, orasila. In English, what time? What time? Saatle, saatle. In English, now. In English, now. Kahu, kahu. In English, nine. In English, nine. Husalima, husalima. In English, 15, 15. Waktu, waktu. In English, watch, watch. Manesa, manesa. In English, prices, prices. Here is an example of conversation in Hitu language. The conversation is between Laimena and Nuku asking about time. Laimena, orasila Nuku. In English, what time is it Nuku? What time is it Nuku? Nuku, apei yawa alahime. Apei yawa alahime. In English, let's see. Let's see. Saatle orasiwa kahu menit hasulima. Saatle orasiwa kahu menit husalima. In English, it's 9:15 now. It is 9:15 now. Laimena, iyo yau waktu e salahu manesa. Iyo yau waktu e salalu manesa. In English, is your watch always prices? Is your watch always prices? Nuku, iyo yau waktu e salalu manesa. Iyo yau waktu e salalu manesa. In English, sure, my watch is always price. Sure, my watch is always precise.
Sure, my watch is always precise. Leimena, terima kasih. Terima kasih. In English, thank you. Thank you. Listener, make sure you send your criticism and suggestion to our email address voi@voinews.id or our Facebook fan page, The Voice of Indonesia. Well, listener, that was today's edition of My Language, as media to conserve regional language variety in Indonesia.
Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from The Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, listener of RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are. Welcome back to the regular Music Corner, a musical segment which introduces you to Indonesian music, either traditional or modern one. In today's edition, we present nostalgic pop songs from Meriam Bellina. Well, listener, let's listen to the first song entitled Simfoni Rindu by Meriam Bellina. Happy listening.
Kau tu buat harapan yang terakhir.
Meriam Belina is a multi-talented artist. In the Indonesian entertainment world, she is known as an actress, a singer, and movie star. As a singer, she had released many albums. The first album, entitled Symphony Rindu, was released in 1983. The leading song in this album is Symphony Rindu. The song was composed and arranged by Panche F. Pondaah, an Indonesian famous singer and songwriter. The song tells about wistful symphony that increased the pain of someone who left behind the lover. Well, listener, let's listen to the next song entitled Untuk Sebuah Nama by Meriam Belina. Enjoy the song.
Untuk sebuah nama, rindu tak pernah.
Listener, that was the song entitled Untuk Sebuah Nama by Meriam Bellina. This song is in the album with the same title, Untuk Sebuah Nama, which was released in 1984. The song was also composed by Panje F. Pondaah, which tells the story of someone who really missed the lover. The sense of longing no longer unstoppable, although just seeing in a dream is not a problem for him or her. Listener, to conclude our segment of Music Corner for today, let's listen to the last two songs entitled Kerinduan and Begitu Indah by Meriam Bellina. Happy listening. Sampai jumpa.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Begitu sedih untuk dikenangkan. Cukuplah sudah sayang,
Thank you for listening to English program from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. Stay tuned on 9525 kHz. You can also tune at voinews.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia, RRI Building, 4th Floor, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta. PO Box 1157, Jakarta 10110, Indonesia. You can also join us on Facebook, The Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter at VOI Indonesia. Our Instagram, voice_of_Indonesia. RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. Informing, connecting, dignifying.